You're listening to a Chicago Sports Nation production, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience.
Well, come on.
All right, welcome back to another Bears Nation podcast. We've got myself, Josh Lyles, Jake Hassan, and Chris Nano. You can follow us on Twitter at JoshLyles28. Or Jake, what's your Twitter handle?
At JakeHassan2.
And then Chris, what's your Twitter handle?
It's ChrisNano10.
Sweet. So if you're going to go follow us, awesome. If not, you can just listen to our beautiful voices. But let's get started. All right, so we did a little question, a Q&A is last minute, so we only got one response, which is okay, because we can spend a lot of time on that one person. So it was from at CBeck with 86, and he asked, which part of the new offense are we most excited about? So if you guys want to go ahead and start it off, go ahead and knock it out.
For me, it's just the fact that there is a new modern offense. We know that the biggest problem with John Fox was a kind of old school offense with mostly centered around running the ball. And as you'll see, if you're a Bears fan, you've been reading up on Trubisky this offseason, you know, the biggest knock on him has been that he didn't throw a lot last year. And that's because he didn't get the opportunities. Sometimes throwing as few as 7 or 12 times a game, which is insane. So I'm just more excited to see what Nagy has in store for Trubisky in year two, especially since he's surrounding him with such awesome talent like Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, and these kind of guys that'll help hopefully take Trubisky's game to the next level.
Yeah, for me, you know, for starters, it's not a Dowell Loggins, John Fox offense. So, I mean, that's already an upgrade there. So, you know, like Jake was saying, it's really going to come down to Trubisky, but I mean, I love what we've done around him. You know, they've set him up to succeed, really. So, you know, it'll really just come down to his development. We still have those two studs in the backfield in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. So, you know, we're set on paper. If Trubisky develops, this team could be absolutely lethal, especially this offense, I should say.
So to that point, so yes, we're all excited that we have an offense. But let's just say we did have an offensive-minded coach last season. We didn't have the tools around Trubisky to even perform something like what Nagy's going to provide to our team. So I'm just excited about all these flipping weapons that we have. Like you said, Jake, Allen Robinson, and now Anthony Miller. And being able to use Shaheen, he came alive at the end of the season last season. So just all these different options that we have just to throw the ball to, Tariq Cohen, Taylor Gabriel, like the list, Trey Burton, the list goes on. We mentioned it last, or on Thursday, just it's night and day from last season. So there's a lot to be excited about.
I'm really excited about Shaheen, because I was excited about him when we drafted him, and then when he wasn't getting play early in the season, it was really frustrating because the Bears were getting these red zone opportunities, and their biggest guy was on the sidelines. So I think Nagy's going to definitely know how to utilize that better than John Fox or Dowell Loggins did.
Which there's proof of that. I mean, right. I'm not going to sit here and say, because we don't know. He could be the next whatever. But I'm not going to say Travis Kelce and Adam Shaheen are the same people, because we don't know. But if Adam Shaheen could even be a sliver of what Travis Kelce is, Matt Nagy has proven that he can use those giant tight ends to create awesome plays. So definitely excited about that. So yeah, that is the part of the new offense that we're most excited about, is just having an offense, just having something to work with. Let's jump into mini camp. That was just this weekend, and so many good things that came out of it. The beat writers, all the Twitter updates, like, everything was positive coming out, which it is every offseason, and we've talked about this before. We're always positive before the season starts, and then it just falls apart. But there's just something about this offseason that just feels good. But let's talk about some of the players from minicamp, rookie minicamp, and just some of the things that were said about them, and we're just going to break them down as we go. So it's going to feel like a draft recap, but it's going to be different because we're going to hit on topics that came out this weekend. So, Chris, you want to talk about Roquan Smith a little bit?
You know, there hasn't been too much news on him, but like you were saying earlier when we were talking, you know, no news is good news. You know, everyone has high expectations for him. They said he looked explosive. He looked ready. And, you know, he looks the part. So not much coming out on him. But the main thing is that I heard was that him and Iggy are going to be roommates. So, you know, they get to bounce ideas off each other, get to learn together, become good friends in the throughout the process. So that's something to look out for, see how their you know, partnership on the field and off the field develops. But, yeah, I mean, I just think he's going to be an absolute baller, just a perfect player for us. And, you know, he hasn't done anything crazy yet, but, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and it's still really early in the process. So,
yeah, to that point, just that it's the same thing. I mean, I don't remember where I read this, but something about how the Bears are taking the right approach with Roquan, just kind of letting him do his thing. I mean, because he knows he's had that kind of leadership role at Georgia as an upperclassman, as the kind of centerpiece of that defense. So he knows what he has to do, and they're just letting him do it, which I think is an awesome thing. Just let him kind of integrate himself, and because he obviously has the talent to keep up. So it's exciting to see him just working with the rest of the guys.
And what's so funny in this press conference, like, I feel like a lot of our Bears players are like this. Like, they don't say much about their play because they don't have to. Akeem Hicks will joke around every now and then and say he's the best. But other than that, like, he doesn't go out there and say, "Did you see all my sacks that I got?" Like, he just lets his play do the talking. And Roquan Smith so far has been that guy. Like, he's a number 8 first-round draft pick. And he will humbly go out there with all the other guys. Like you said, Chris, he's rooming with Iggy, and he could very well, if he wanted to, say, "Hey, I finished the season off a baller. Like, I was excellent. I was so good, and I'm going to bring that play to the next level. And nobody would think twice because he is a first-round pick. Like, but he has that humbleness, and I like that in players. But let's talk about Iggy since we're on that subject. Jake, you got anything on Iggy?
Just that I'm excited by his potential. He's just a big dude. And I think him rooming with Roquan is a good thing, because when we did our draft recap, we kind of talked about how Iggy needs some polishing. He needs a little bit more work potentially. So I think working with someone who's extremely polished, who we expect to be a leader and a starter and a key member of the defense, I think Iggy rooming with someone like that is the perfect combination. And then I think those guys can just kind of learn off each other, because I think they do have somewhat different playing styles. I think Roquan's more of a intellectual, calculated player, where he uses his speed and kind of looks at everything, breaks it down how he's going to do it, whereas Iggy can kind of use more of just his raw athleticism to do it and count on that. So I think those guys can really work off each other, bounce ideas off each other. And you mentioned earlier, Josh, when we were talking, that Iggy's just a physical specimen. Like, he's just cut to the center. Like, he looks incredible. So I'm really excited about the future for him, too.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I was going to talk about how you brought up how Iggy could learn from Roquan. And I was going to say, you know, Roquan is still a rookie himself, as polished as he is. So, you know, like you said, they can bounce ideas off each other. And not just that, but the biggest thing to me is not just the football aspect, is just they're going to grow as people together. You know, they'll build a friendship, and you know, that goes a long way. So, you know, I'm really excited to see what they both bring. Iggy is probably going to be more on the athletic side. He's just a freak athlete, and Roquan pretty much does everything. So, yeah, I love the fact that they're already bonding. So it's going to be awesome.
And it's hard. It's also hard to say Iggy wouldn't have been as good as Roquan Smith. That's a bold statement, but it's hard to say that Iggy wouldn't have been as good as Roquan Smith in his in that same conference, because Iggy was. I mean, Iggy had lower competition, but almost the same numbers. I think they were off by 20 tackles, I think. Like we've been saying, Iggy is very athletic. He can make those plays. He can make those tackles. That's never been the question. I think the question is just the competition in college. I think that was the question on whether or not it was going to transfer to the next level. So I think we got two studs back there just waiting, just sitting there on our shelves. You know, like we've got Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski if we needed to put them on the side for a second, which we won't have to with Smith. But it's just neat to have rookies that are that good. So, Iggy didn't get to finish rookie minicamp. That slacker. What was he doing, guys?
Well, you know, Josh, so tell us.
So Iggy actually was graduating with his pre-med. How do you even say that? He graduated with pre-med
degree.
He graduated with his pre-med. I didn't go to college, okay? Get off me. No. He graduated with his pre-med degree, and he went back to walk. So it was kind of cool that Nagy let him do that. And it was also cool because Nagy was, like, bragged on it. He was like, I'm extremely proud of that kid. So it's just cool. Like, you know how they differentiate coaches between a player's coach? And the point I'm making is Nagy is hands down a player's coach. Like, He wants to get the best out of the player, and so he lets that player be them. And that was a big topic today on Twitter. I saw that Nagy wants the Chicago Bears players, the rookies, to be themselves and not try to be something that they're not. But let's move on. Anthony Miller, he looked great this weekend. What do you guys have to say on him?
I'm excited about him. He had some quotes, and the coaches also talked about just how confident he is, which I really enjoy. He's not afraid of a challenge. I know one of the draft knocks on him was that he had some issues with drops, and it sounds like he's really working on that, something that he really wants to shake off. And really, he wants to become one of those guys that you can count on, which is awesome, because we know he's an exceptional athlete. And his measurables, we talked about before the show, he has ridiculous hands that are almost a foot. In length or width or however you measure hands, but he's just an exceptional measurables, awesome athlete, and he's got that kind of swagger too, and he's bringing it to the field. And I think that's part of that changing culture for the Bears, guys who are confident in themselves, guys who are willing to bet on themselves, and it's exciting to see.
I just love his confidence. I love the fact that he wants to be the guy. He's not scared of any challenge. If he plays to his potential, he could easily be one of the best receivers in this league in a couple years. It's not far fetched at all to think that. So, we all knew he was explosive. We all knew he has this little chip on his shoulder. He has a swagger to him, but. We just gotta make sure he improves on his hands. Really, that's the only thing that I feel like is like stands out to me as like a weakness. But other than that, you know, it's gonna be exciting to see what he does opposite of Allen Robinson. He's gonna be next to Taylor Gabriel as well. Just learning from those guys, it's gonna be something special.
Day one, Anthony Miller sat out because they were worried about letting his ankle rest because he had surgery, I think, or something. He had some kind of ankle issue, and they said it was completely healed. They just wanted to give him a day off. But we could put whatever rumors aside, put him to bed, put him to rest, whatever you want to say, because he performed day two and three. Everybody said he was great. Explosiveness was there. We even got to see some video on Twitter, so nothing to worry about there. So that's encouraging. But yeah, his confidence. Like I think that's the biggest thing that came out of this weekend is like he does have that chip on his shoulder, and like he's not afraid to say, "Hey, I'm good, and I'll show you." So that's cool. Let's talk a little bit. So this is the most interesting prospect that we have on our draft class. Because of his potential, his ceiling, and that's Fitz. He's our outside linebacker, but he had injury issues. So if you guys want to talk about him.
We talked about it in the draft recap that he fits the position of need, and if not for the injuries, he probably would have gone higher in the draft than sixth round. and you mentioned it, Josh, he has an incredibly high ceiling. He put up some really good numbers when he was healthy at Utah. It sounds like he's really kind of how Miller is eager to shake off that label of that he has kind of weak hands or he has an issue with drops. Fitz is really, really eager, from what he says, it sounds like, at least really eager to get rid of this label of him being injury prone or ineffective, can't stay healthy. And honestly, I hope he does, because he is a very physical, like, he's a physical specimen. 6'4", 265 is what he's listed at. And if he can play at a high level next to Leonard Floyd, as well as the guys on the defensive line like Hicks and Goldman, then those are four really good guys you have always going at opposing quarterbacks. So I love his potential, and if he could stay healthy, that's awesome.
You know, I was expecting him to kind of take that next step as long as he did stay healthy. But, you know, the reports that are coming out, they're making it seem like he's going to be an absolute stud. I know obviously it's early, but, you know, the way they're talking about him, I'm pretty surprised. You know, they're saying he looks explosive. He looks the part. He looks fantastic. So just let him stay healthy. And like Jake said, him next to Leonard Floyd, just they're going to be a problem in opposing teams' backfield. So, you know, just hoping he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing, really.
Yeah, and let's just talk about how big he is. I mean, 6'4", 269. Like, he's a big dude. I was looking at that picture on the Chicago Bears Twitter page, and it's all of our draft picks standing next to each other. And I think actually Fitz is actually standing next to James Daniels, and they're like the same width. And to have an outside linebacker the same size as your left guard, that's pretty nuts. And he's got the speed to back up his size. So it's just exciting to look forward to his like you guys said, his ceiling. So speaking of Daniels, we can transition to him. James Daniels, he is officially going to be training for left guard and not center. Even though he came out of college as the center, he will be moved to left guard. Cody Whitehair will be at center. And another interesting topic that we'll hit on a little bit is Eric Kush is now, he's able to move around the line a little bit as solid depth. Like, he's, when I say solid, like, he's a serviceable starter. So to have that as depth, that's pretty cool. But you guys want to talk about James Daniel and what came out this weekend? What have you guys heard?
We talked about it last week that we kind of, at least not to brag, I guess, but I kind of said that Whitehair should be expected to be at center just based on continuity and based on what the coaches were saying. But now Nagy said officially that Whitehair will be at center, Daniels will be at guard. And I mean, it's not set in stone, because if Whitehair does struggle, if he continues to show struggles with the snap or with snap counts, what have you, then, I mean, that's obviously a fluid operation, because Daniels did play center. He was very good at it in college. But, I mean, it's still a very good offensive line, probably a top six or seven interior offensive line in the league. So, and Daniels, we know he can play it. He's got that versatility to play guard as well. But as far as Kush goes, he'd be a starter anywhere else, I think. So to have a starting caliber guy as your number one backup, I think that's a very nice luxury for the Bears to have.
It was a little bit odd for me, because Cody Whitehair in college played primarily center, or primarily guard, sorry. And James Daniels at Iowa played primarily center. So I kind of just thought they were going to go with, I guess, their primary position per se. But I guess I do understand where they're coming from with this. You know, I also wouldn't be shocked if by September that, you know, they are switched where Daniels is at center and Whitehair is at guard. Josh, like you were saying, that I mean, Kush being able to be a depth player is just huge. Because, you know, it's crazy to think about how much our offensive line has improved from, let's say, 2010, 2011, where Cutler was just getting sacked on, you know, every other play. But, yeah, now it feels good. Like, it feels like when Trubisky drops back or when he snaps the ball, you know, you don't feel as uncomfortable as you did, you know, maybe 6 years ago. But yeah, I just love what they've done with this offensive line. I think we're going to be very serviceable, and you know, just another plus for Trubisky heading into the year.
To the point of the Bears line being better, it is definitely better, but it definitely still needs some work considering against the Browns last season, 2017. I think Trubisky was sacked 6 times against the Browns. And so that, I know we had a lot of injuries on the line, so that is definitely a good excuse. So if we have all those starters, Kyle Long, James Daniel, Whitehair, all in there, we should be fine. But the run offense is great. Like they're great with zone running, making those holes. And I think the reason they're so great is Jordan is just a baller at finding those holes, whether it's there or not. Like he just sees it and goes for it. But that pass protection was definitely an issue last season. So I'm hoping having guys healthy, obviously, changes everything. And how many times are we going to have to say that in this show? Like,
well, I mean, it's a point that you can't hammer home enough, though, because, I mean, injuries were an issue last year. Kyle Long wasn't fully healthy. Sitton dealt with injuries. Eric Kush was lost before the year even started. So, I mean, for God's sake, Jonas Grasu was starting at center a couple weeks at the end of the season. So, I mean, it's a point that you can't hammer home enough because it is so important.
Especially the line. I get there's going to be injuries on the field. I get that. But past our starters, it's kind of a sketch. Like, it's kind of scary. Because, I mean, just look at the Eagles, next man up. I mean, they look at all their injury-laden people. Like, they had guys go down too, Carson Wentz being one of them. They just won the Super Bowl. Like, we need to find quality depth guys, which I think we have this year. Like, Jordan Morgan coming back from his injury. Like, I think I really think we have depth this year. It's just it's scary. I want to be cautiously optimistic because I've been excited before, you know. So let's talk about some notable cuts after this rookie minicamp. So There was quite a few cuts. Actually, Chris, do you still have that list in front of you?
Yeah, the four players that were cut, offensive lineman Travis Averill, linebacker Howard Jones, lineman Cameron Lee, offensive lineman, and linebacker Niles Morgan out of Notre Dame. You know, we were talking about it earlier how we're not that deep at linebacker, and we ended up cutting Howard Jones and Niles Morgan. And you know, Howard Jones last year was a guy that a lot of people wanted called up to the 53-man roster. So, you know, it's a little bit odd, but hopefully something comes out on why they were cut.
Yeah, especially Howard Jones. He did, coming out of college, his rookie season with the Bucks, he had 5 sacks, which are solid numbers for a rookie. He only had 5 starts and he had 5 sacks. So that's pretty darn good. That's averaging a sack a game, so that's pretty solid production. Even last season with the Bucks, even last season with the Bears, he had a sack, and he never started a game at all. So that was just him being a rotational guy. So, but they, like we've said before in the show, like the coaches, the evaluators, they're all there. They see what's going on. Nagy in his press conference actually talked about how the difference between day one, day two, and day three. And so day one, everybody comes in, they see the playbook, everything's new, especially the offensive guys. And then day two, they ran some of the same schemes, so that way they could evaluate to see, all right, who actually learned something new. And then day three, they did a new scheme that they didn't practice on day one and two. But day two for Nagy was his way of evaluating who's dedicated to learning. And maybe those four guys who they got cut, like, they just weren't basically making the cut. Yeah, so that was the rookie minicamp. Overall, tell me how you feel about the weekend.
I feel good. I think we have every reason to feel good about this rookie class. You know, I think that all three of us were very high on them even before we saw some tape on them or before we saw them in action at camp. And now that we get all these glowing reviews coming out of camp, it just kind of reinforces that idea that we should be excited about these guys, especially guys like Fitz and Roquan and Miller and Daniels. Like, I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Yeah, I mean, it's always exciting to hear about when players are standing out, especially some of the guys that we weren't expecting to stand out. Because, I mean, that's always just a bonus. As long as the guys that we expect to do good are doing what they're supposed to do, you know, anything else is more bonus. But I just wanted to mention real quick, the Bears signed John Franklin from Last Chance U. He was the quarterback from Last Chance U, the show. And they signed him as a kick returner. And they also signed wide receiver Matt Fleming, who used to be a track star in high school. So that's something to watch out for, too. And you can see what route they're going, adding two really speedy guys. So, yeah, that's something just to watch out for.
Especially since kick returner has been kind of in flux since Devin Hester left.
Exactly.
Franklin, that one video that I saw, he ran a 40, and allegedly it was 4.19 time, but if he's even close to that fast, I mean, he has to be on the kick return team, because I mean, that's speed that's John Ross speed, that's record speed. So that's really exciting to see, because if the Bears can get some stability at that position, that's awesome.
Record speed at what height again? What did you say, Chris? 6'1", I think.
He was 6'1", yeah.
That's crazy. He's a big guy and running 4.19.
That's record speed. That's incredible.
Yeah. Just real quick, off topic. If Jordan Howard does not get mentioned in the top NFL 100, I'm gonna flip.
No, I don't think there's been a Bears player for the last 2 years. If I'm not mistaken.
Not even Kyle Long.
Yeah. No, Kyle Long hasn't been there. I would be shocked, dude. I would be shocked if Kyle Fuller isn't on it this year after the year he had last year.
Or Adrian Amos, like he's gotten. I can't believe how much he's blown up, like in the media side of everything. Like, he was brought in on Good Morning Football. Like, PFF talks about him all the time.
Yeah. No. You know what's crazy to me? It's the fact that they say these rankings are always based on the previous year, but then they don't really do the rankings based off that. If you really look at what they're, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just kind of silly. Like Fletcher Cox is at 69. And I know he's really good, but he really didn't do anything last year. It was mainly because he was getting double teamed. I was watching a lot of their games. I was watching some tape on him. He gets double teamed a lot, but I mean,
if
he gets double teamed, like, okay. Like we know why he gets double teamed. He's good. But if the production isn't there, you can't just include him because of his name. You know what I mean? It's just kind of silly. I don't know.
I mean, if you're taking two guys away from the line, I mean, I think that is production, in my opinion.
Yeah, no. That you're completely correct about that. But it's just, I don't know. Like, they just don't really. Fletcher Cox was good last year, don't get me wrong. But I just feel like Hicks is not going to be on here, which is pretty ridiculous, in my opinion. He doesn't even get talked about. It's just, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Hicks definitely needs to be in conversations. Like,
I'd say Hicks, Fuller, and Amos, yeah.
As a nose tackle, D lineman, pushing from the center, and you have seven sacks, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That is production you don't ever see from that position normally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure his numbers almost matched Aaron Donald's.
Yeah, they did. And I remember he didn't even make the Pro Bowl, which was crazy to me.
All right, so the next and final segment of today's show, we're gonna do a little player highlight, and we're gonna talk about Roy Robertson Harris, the monster himself. His production really hasn't been there since being on the team, but his first season with the Bears, he was put on injured reserve, right?
Yeah.
Okay, his first season with the Bears, he's put on injured reserve. The next season, he actually only started zero. He didn't start at all. He played in 13 games. He started zero times, which is blows me away. If we only have 5 wins, like, just see what people are capable of. Like, start these underrated diamond in the rough guys. But anyways, go ahead. Let's evaluate this guy. Tell me what you guys think of him. His potential, his ceiling, his floor, all that good stuff. Let's break him down.
I like his measurables, 6'7", 294, and he's only 24 years old. I like how he fits with the rest of the guys, with Akeem Hicks, with Eddie Goldman. I think he kind of plays well with them. And I think a guy like Fangio is the perfect mentor for a guy like Robertson Harris, because Fangio is good with these kind of athletic freaks who he can kind of mold into the vision that he has for them. So he's slowly coming along. I think we saw some good things last year. The two sacks, you know, the tackles, even though he didn't start, I mean, just as long as he's getting some play, he's getting some trust. I think that's a good thing. And hopefully he continues to get a longer leash, because I think if Fangio has a vision for him, it'll be really awesome what the final product could be.
This is a guy, you know, I'm expecting to take the next step. You know, he didn't play all that much last year, like you guys were just talking about, but, you know, every time he was on the field, it seemed like he was putting pressure on the quarterback if he wasn't tackling someone or you know, sacking the quarterback. But it's some of those things that go unnoticed, like QB pressures or, you know, taking a gap to allow, you know, someone else to explode through the hole, to, you know, get in the backfield or something like that. But just I just feel like some of the things he does are so underappreciated. But yeah, I'm expecting him to take the next step. I think he'll be playing a little bit more this year with, you know, Willie Young and all those guys that got cut, because, you know, he's a defensive end, but we have seen him play outside linebacker. So yeah, I just hope he pans out, because he does have a lot of potential.
Yeah, Chris, to that point, I was reading his draft profile on NFL.com, and it says Robson Harris will step onto the field at his first NFL camp looking like a dude. He has the desired length, power, and athleticism to play on the edge, and it'll be interesting to see if teams view him as a defensive end or a stand-up player. So to that point, Roy Robertson Harris shows athleticism beyond what his size says he should be able to run. I mean, he's a fast guy. He overpowers offensive linemen. But, I mean, he's literally gained 50 pounds since college, so that way he could fill the role as defensive end and not outside linebacker. So the size is a good thing, because he was too small to play on the line before against NFL offensive linemen. So adding that weight has really helped in his development. His knock says here that his athleticism doesn't match his production, and that's been true since he's been on the team as well. So it'll be interesting to see his third season. He should be comfortable. Like, granted, he was on IR his first season, but he still had time to learn the playbook and watch plenty of tape. But there's nothing like being on the field. But he has an entire season under his belt, so it'll be interesting to see if he takes that next step. We mentioned this earlier before the show. He's only an inch smaller than Calais Campbell. And Calais, if he could reach Calais Campbell's production, man, our defense is already scary in the middle with Goldman, Hicks, and Bullard, and all those guys in the center. Just adding a monster like Robertson Harris, just, like, I feel really bad for centers and guards. The tackles already have a lot to deal with normally with all the speed on the outside, but just having that brutal strength in the center, it's exciting. I'm excited. All right, guys, I think that's a wrap. That was a good show. We'll be back next week, Monday, back on schedule.
We will most definitely be talking about the OTAs that are happening the next 3 days, so keep your eyes out on Twitter for any updates on that.
I'm Josh.
Jake.
And Chris right here.
And bear down. Well, come on.